glimpses of millennial prospects. For the child of God, that is to provide a stream of optimism as we live out our days. We need to know that at the end of each day does not mean that there's the end, and that the end of the, or that the end of life, if it happens before Jesus comes, is the end of it all. But there are, according to what we will look at very briefly tonight in the scriptures, primarily in the book of Isaiah, we're going to come out and focus on four key words that I hope will, that the Spirit of God will embed in your hearts tonight as a take home. But I'd like to begin in Isaiah 35 verse 1, where we read these words, and we get a hint in two places in this chapter of those four key words. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now, keep in mind what you're reading here is sort of like a preview of what a millennial life would be like. Keep in mind that the tribulation period will already have been over. Church had been raptured already 7 years prior. And so here we have a place on earth where peace prevails. And I don't know about you, but peace is at a premium today. Individually and corporately and nationally, peace is at a premium. And I don't know about you, but I get tired of all the wrangling and all of the new reports, seems like on a daily basis, of somewhere somebody has taken somebody else's life. Good, bad, or ugly, life is a life. It can be depressing if you let it wear down on you. But here in Isaiah 35, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. Now that's a good one. I like that. Just a question, when was the last time you leaped at all? I mean, on purpose. On purpose. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Then verse 9 says this, no lion shall be there, nor any, key word there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow, note this, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. When I'm thinking about that lion, first thing came to my mind was this past week, those two young fellows were bicycling. I'm trying to think where it was, out New Mexico, Arizona, someplace. And a starving mountain lion attacked them and killed one boy, young man, 31 years old. And the other one narrowly escaped because they ran from him. I tried to run from this cat, and you cannot run them, so one of them died. And it just brought to mind, you know, the predatory nature of our culture, the predatory nature of the animal kingdom itself. If you think about it, it all rolls back to Genesis chapter 3. It all rolls back to sin. God did not intend for that to be that way. Sin ushered that in. Now keep your place in Isaiah and go back to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. And let me point out these words. I read at verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. Then please notice in verse 4, these words, no more, neither, nor, neither, any more. Those little phrases, verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more, no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Now, I do believe when I'm looking at Revelation chapter 21, we're past the millennium. We hyper-speed past the millennial time and to the time beyond the earthly reign as to get a glimpse of what life will be like in eternity future. No more pain. The former things are passed away. Then chapter 22, verse number 3, great news, probably the greatest of all news. 22:3, the key word, no more. There shall be no more curse. No more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. No more curse. Do you realize that? What stops there that began in Genesis 3 when men began to die incrementally, when the animal kingdom began to die, when God's creation began to wither and to dry, and over a period of time, it just continues in a downward, ever descending spiral. And one day there'll be no more curse. A couple of years ago, for maybe several years on running, there were some Christian men in the community who rallied around the cause, and they would have a men's meeting in a nearby local church called Reverse the Curse. Reverse the Curse. And I'm thinking, oh, if only there was a way. Now, individually, I understand what they're talking about, but there's no reversing the curse until God removes the curse. And of course, we understand that Christ became a curse for us individually. He became a curse for us and nailed that curse, so to speak, to the cross, paid our debt. Now, come back to Isaiah, and this time go to chapter 60. God's future plan for human misery. And that misery, of course, brought on by sin and all of its implications and contingencies. But I look in Isaiah 60, verse 18. Please, again, the key words, no more. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. Now, from where we are, we see it a certain way. We look at if you do stuff like this, you look at crime statistics, whether the statistics are offered up by the FBI or the Justice Department or whatever, depending on the year, depending on who's doing the reporting. In some communities, the crime goes down. In another place, crime goes up. And they categorize it according to types of crime, whether it's with firearms or without firearms, whether there was with personal injury, whether there was death involved or whatever. But one of the things that just blows me away, no pun intended when I say that, is night after night after night after night in our own tri-county area, somebody's pulling a pistol out and shooting somebody. And if they're not doing that, they're killing somebody driving drunk behind the wheel and crashing into people's homes. Violence. And then there's always a report somewhere, and it always is in immediate locale of a bar and grill where people get all gassed up inside the establishment and they go to fists. And it's no more gentleman's rules, you know, if first guy lands a punch and knocks you down, the fight's over. No, when you get knocked down, you can expect violence, kicking to the head, stomping. And if one guy isn't doing it well enough, there are two or three around who will be more than happy to join in to finish it off. Violence. Now look at it from the point of the Jew in the Holy Land today. Rocket attack after rocket attack after rocket attack after rocket attack. Terrorists infiltrating, putting bombs on school children's buses. Violence. Now to the Jew, when he would hear something like this, concerning the land that he will occupy, which is under, as you understand, great deliberation today, there'll be no more violence heard in the land. No more. No more. And no more destruction within thy border. No more destruction. If you're an unbelieving Jew and you read this here, you've got to be asking yourself some key questions like, how is that going to be possible? Of course, they won't see through messianic lenses. They won't see it through the lens of Christ as the Messiah. But then I got to thinking as well, in the Davidic covenant, one of the promises that's made in 2 Samuel 7, verse number 10, to the people in that day, in the millennial day, where it is said, and again, the key words are no more, they will move no more. No more. As we understand it, Israel has a foothold in the land now, though they're not there in belief of the Messiah. Judgment is yet going to fall upon them as a nation, but to recover them, not to ruin them or to destroy them. And then there is this also in 60 verse 19. Think about this maybe a little bit more creatively. It says there, and again the key words, no more. The sun shall be no more thy light by day. Another word, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Then verse 20, thy sun shall no more go down. Does the sun go down? The sun shall no more go down, and neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. When does the moon withdraw itself, usually? You can still sometimes see it in the early morning hours, but then it fades away. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy, here's a good one too, the days of thy mourning shall be ended. So I look at that and I'm thinking, well, there's no more daylight, there's no more moonlight, and there's no more sunsets. Do you take pleasure in the morning sunrise? Oh, I think it's always gorgeous. Sunsets, boy, you can get some dandies. And even when the moon is full, on a clear night, that moon just, oh, lights up everything. Just wonderful. But there in the millennial kingdom, the focus will not be on anything that God has made, but the focus will be on God himself. He will be the light that shines. The other things, not so much. Morning ended. And maybe there's a reason for that. Next verse, 21. The people also shall be all righteous. The people shall be all righteous. Imagine living in a community like that. You say, well, look, in the millennial kingdom, you mean there won't be any sinners there in the millennial kingdom? You say, well, yes, there sure will be. There'll be some folks that are born during the kingdom time of the survivors of the tribulation period who will bear children. Sinners will be born, and there will be the necessary chastisement from the king to the delinquent parties during the millennial kingdom. And there will be even death in the millennial kingdom. Death on the part of those who are natural born and not those who were transformed from one realm to the other, the child of God, the church family. Then in Isaiah 65, if you could look there, please. Isaiah 65. This will be great too. Verse 19. Verse 19. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be, key words, no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Do you remember the last time you were just sitting, sort of minding your business, and in an involuntary reaction to something you saw, maybe remembered or heard, you choked back a little something and it watered your eyes? You weren't planning on it. It wasn't one of those Jimmy Swaggart moments. It wasn't something that was forced. It was you were just sitting there minding your own business and you heard something, you saw something, all of a sudden it just catches you and you begin to weep. You know what? I don't like those moments. If I'm gonna do that, I like to plan on it and, you know, try to mask it somehow. How wonderful it'll be when we'll be in a place when there'll be no more of that. No more. Verse 20. This one here kind of is a little confusing. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. Question I have, I wonder what the day limit is in the millennial kingdom. And we get a little bit of a hint. It says the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Imagine a person living in the millennial kingdom in an atmosphere and environment totally pristine and coming to the end of his days without faith in the Messiah who sits on the throne, visually observable on the throne. And a guy comes, he lives and born and dies 100 years old and never is impressed with his surroundings. That's incredible. All the more points up to you that even though we get into the millennial kingdom, we don't and cannot possibly fathom the exceeding sinfulness of sin itself. I know the social engineers will try to say, look, the reason people do what they do is because of their environment, the kind of neighborhood they were raised in, the kind of parents that they had. They never had a chance in life, never got a proper education. It was, you know, one thing after another, after another, after another. But, you know, I remind you this, that Adam and Eve were living in a pristine environment and they sinned. When it come to the end in the millennial kingdom, people will be living in a pristine environment and they will sin in spite of the fact on Adam and Eve's part that God visited with them and talked with them every day, and in spite of the fact that King Jesus will be on the throne in Jerusalem. How is it possible? And the only answer is, the only conclusion you can draw is that sin is really, really bad. And it nothing but the mighty power of the Spirit of God working through the Word of God can change a sinner's heart. Nothing. Thank God for the optimistic prospects of that day that go far beyond what we here on earth have come to expect. Our life, as it is said in the book of James, is but a vapor. It's here a little while and passes away. But there, we can eliminate all that. And another thing we can eliminate, somewhere in the book of Corinthians talks about our light afflictions being but for a moment. We can cancel all that too. There won't be anything like light afflictions for the child of God in the millennial reign. None. None. So, buckle up, folks. Keep your chin up. Jesus is coming, and there's a whole lot more after that that's on the plate. Our dear Father and our God, we pray and we ask, Lord, for your help now as we spend a little bit of time with our hearts bowed, our knees bowed, and we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you might listen to our requests. And again, Lord, as you might be disposed to answer them or not, bring glory to yourself in each occasion for Jesus' sake. Amen.